Caught in the dark with a radio spark. Meet me where the most light falls. You are listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Where the Most Light Falls, an audio literary journal. This particular show is a special one where I feature a lot of music from the 20s, sort of a jazzy blues music from the 20s, and a few poems on the show that I think you'll enjoy. We're listening to Nightfall, sophisticated jazz classics from the 1920s. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about jazz poetry. I'm going to read from poets.org, a brief guide to jazz poetry. Jazz poetry is a literary genre defined as poetry necessarily informed by jazz music. That is, poetry in which the poet responds to and writes about jazz. Jazz poetry, like the music itself, encompasses a variety of forms, rhythms, and sounds. Beginning with the birth of blues and jazz at the start of the 20th century, jazz poetry can be seen as a thread that runs through the Harlem Renaissance, the Beat Movement, and the Black Arts Movement, and it is still vibrant today. From early blues to free jazz to experimental music, jazz poets use their appreciation for the music as poetic inspiration. Jazz artists make appearances in jazz poems as well. Louis Armstrong, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Billie Holiday, Charles Mingus, Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, Sonny Rollins, Bessie Smith and Lester Young are just some of the muses for jazz poetry. But writing about jazz poetry is, as they say, like dancing about architecture. Perhaps the form can best be understood through a few lines from the poets themselves. droning a drowsy syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard a Negro play. Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of an old gas light, he did a lazy sway, he did a lazy sway, to the tune of those weary blues. That poem was from The Weary Blues by Langston Hughes. Here's another by Jane Cortez. I crisscrossed with monk, wailed with bud, counted every star with stit, sang Don't Blame Me with Sarah, wore a flower like Billy, screamed in the range of Donna, and scattered How High the Moon with Ella Fitzgerald as she blew roof off the Shrine Auditorium, jazz at the Philharmonic. And that was a poem from a poem called Jazz Fan Looks Back. Poets in the jazz tradition include Emery Baraka, Marvin Bell, Sterling Brown, Hayden Carruth, Cortez, Hughes, Michael S. Harper, Jack Kerouac, Yusuf Komunyika, Mina Loy, Kenneth Rexroth, and Sonia Sanchez.
Thank you.
We will hear Benny Goodman, Memories of You. And I'll read you a poem called The History of Jazz by Kenneth Koch. The leaves of blue came drifting down. In the corner, Madeline Reierbacher was reading Lorna Doone. The bay's water helped to implement the structuring of the garden hose. The envelope fell. Was it pink or was it red? Consult Lorna Doone. There, Voyager, you will find your answer. The savant grape aid stands. Remember Madeline Reierbacher. Madeline Reierbacher says, if you are happy, there is no one to keep you from being happy. Don't let them. Madeline Reierbacher went into the racing car. The racing car was orange and red. Madeline Reierbacher drove to Beale Street. There, Maddie doffed her garments to get into some more comfortable clothes. Jazz was already playing in Beale Street when Madeline Reierbacher arrived there. Madeline Reierbacher picked up their yellow horn and began to play. No one had ever heard anything comparable to the playing of Madeline Reierbacher. What a jazz musician! The pianist missed his beats because he was so excited. The drummer stared out the window in ecstasy at the yellow wooden trees. The orchestra played September in the Rain, Mugging, and I'm Full of Love. Madeline Reierbacher rolled up her sleeves. She picked up her horn. She played Blues in the Rain. It was the best jazz anyone had ever heard. It was mentioned in the newspapers. St. Louis. Madeline Reierbacher became a celebrity. She played with Pesky Summerton and Muggsy Pierce. Madeline cut numerous discs. Her best waxings are Alpha, Beta, and Gamma, and Wing Song. One day, Madeline was riding on a donkey when she came to a yellow light. The yellow light did not change. Madeline kept hoping it would change to green or red. She said, as long as you have confidence, you need be afraid of nothing. Madeline saw the red smokestacks. She looked at the thin trees and she regarded the railroad tracks. The yellow light was unchanging. Madeline's donkey dropped dead from his mortal load. Madeline Reierbacher, when she fell to the earth, picked up a blade of grass and began to play. The blues, cried the workmen of the vicinity, and they ran and came in great numbers to where Madeline Reierbacher was. They saw her standing in that simple field beside the railroad track, playing, and they saw that light changing to green and red, and they saw that donkey stand up and rise into the sky. And Madeline Reierbacher was like a clot of blue in the midst of all the blue of that sky. And the young farmers screamed in excitement, and the workmen dropped their heavy boards and stones in their excitement, and they cried, oh, Madeline Reierbacher, play us the Lead Flint Blues once again. Oh, railroad stations, pennants, evenings and lumber yards, when will you ever bring us such a beautiful soloist again? An argent strain shows on the reddish face of the sun. Madeline Reierbacher stands up and screams, I am getting wet. You are all egotist. Her brain floats up into the lyric atmosphere of the sky. We must figure out a way to keep our best musicians with us. The finest we have always melt in the light blue sky. In the middle of a concert, sometimes they disappear like anvils. The music comes down to us with sweet white hands on our shoulders. We stare up in surprise, and we hear Madeline's best-known tune once again. If you ain't afraid of life, life can't be afraid for you. Madeline, come back and sing to us. Part 2. Dick looked up from his blackboard. Had he really written a history of the jazz age? He stared at his television set. The Technicolor Jazz program was coming on. The program that day was devoted to pictures of Madeline Reierbacher playing her saxophone in the golden age of jazz. Dick looked at his blackboard. It was a mass of green and orange lines. Here and there, a red chalk line interlaced with the others. He stared attentively at the program. It was a clear and blue-white day. Amos said, "The calibration is finished. Now there need be no more jazz." In the mountain home, old Lucas' dog laughed when he heard what Amos had said. He smilingly picked up his yellow horn to play, but all that came out of it was steam. We're listening to Benny Carter and his orchestra Mighty Like the Blues, and Coleman Hawkins, Lost in a Fog. Next up, Duke Ellington, In a Sentimental Mood. Thank you. Next, we'll hear Benny Goodman, These Foolish Things. And I'm going to read you a poem called Jazz by Theodore Maynard. This is from the January 1922 issue of The Atlantic. The band began its music, and I saw 100 people in the cabaret stand up in couples meekly to obey the arbitrary and remorseless law of custom. And I wondered what could draw their weary wills to this fulfillment. Gay they were not. They embraced without dismay, lovers who showed an awful lack of awe. Then, as I sat and drank my wine apart, I pondered on this new religion, which lay heavily upon the face of the rich, who, occupied with ritual, never smiled, because I heard within my quiet heart happiness laughing like a little child. The next tune is Just a Mood by Benny Carter. And I'm going to read something that you would not think of as jazz poetry. But stay with me a minute. I think you'll hear the wonderful rhythms. It's from Goethe's Faust. It's from part one, the section called Night. In a narrow, high-vaulted Gothic room, Faust is seated restlessly in an armchair at his desk. I've studied, alas, philosophy, law and medicine, recto and verso, and how I regret it, theology also. Oh God, how hard I've slaved away, with what result? Poor foolish old man, I'm no whit wiser than when I began. I've got a Master of Arts degree, on top of that a PhD. For 10 long years around and about, upstairs, downstairs, in and out, I've led my students by the nose, with what result? That nobody knows, or ever shall know the tiniest crumb, which is why I feel I'm completely undone. Of course I'm cleverer than these stuffed shirts, these doctors, M.A.s, scribes, and priests. I'm not bothered by a doubt or a scruple. I'm not afraid of hell or the devil. But the consequence is, my mirth's all gone. No longer can I fool myself, I'm able to teach anyone how to be better, love true worth. I've got no money or property, worldly honors or celebrity. A dog wouldn't put up with this life, which is why I've turned to magic, seeking to know by ways occult, from ghostly mouths, spells difficult, so I no longer need to sweat, painfully explaining what I don't know anything about, so I may penetrate the power that holds the universe together, behold the source whence all proceeds, and deal no more in words, words, words. And now we'll hear Coleman Hawkins, Lamentation. Now we'll hear Duke Ellington, Stormy Weather. we'll hear from Benny Goodman, More Than You Know. And now, Benny Carter, Melancholy Lullaby. And a poem by Stephen Dunn called Here and Now from 1939 for Barbara. There are words I've had to save myself from, like My Lord and Blessed Mother. Words I said and never meant, though I admit a part of me misses the ornamental stateliness of high mass, that smell of incense. Heaven did exist, I discovered, but was reciprocal and momentary, like lust felt at exactly the same time. Two mortals, say, on a resilient bed, making a small case for themselves. You and I became the words I'd say before I'd lay me down to sleep. And again when I'd wake, wishful words, no belief in them yet. It seemed you'd been put on earth to distract me from what was doctrinal and dry. Electricity may start things, but if they're to last, I've come to understand a steady low-voltage hum of affection must be arrived at. How else to offset the occasional slide into neglect and ill temper? I learned in time to let heaven go its mythy way, to never again be a supplicant of any single idea. For you and me, it's here and now, from here on in. Nothing can save us, nor do we wish to be saved. Let night come with its austere grandeur, ancient superstitions and fears. It can do us no harm. We'll put some music on, open the curtains, let things darken as they will. Coleman Hawkins coming up with his tune, Devotion. And I will read you a short poem by a friend of mine on Twitter, Mark Gordon. It doesn't have a title. I'm going to call it The Coyote. The coyote, a shadow through the trees, half bark, half hunter in a humanless world. We were hunters once, in small packs or alone, silent, focused, owning our world. Listening now to Duke Ellington, Accent on Youth. Thank you. Next up, we will hear Benny Goodman, I Surrender, Dear. And I'll read you a poem called The Storm by Theodore Recke. Against the stone breakwater, only an ominous lapping, while the wind whines overhead, coming down from the mountain, whistling between the arbors, the winding terraces, a thin whine of wires, a rattling and flapping of leaves, and the small street lamp swinging and slamming against the lamp pole. Where have the people gone? There is one light on the mountain. Along the seawall, a steady sloshing of the swell, the waves not yet high but even, coming closer and closer upon each other, a fine fume of rain driving in from the sea, riddling the sand like a wide spray of buckshot, the wind from the sea and the wind from the mountain contending, flicking the foam from the white cap straight upward into darkness, a time to go home. And a child's dirty shift billows upward out of an alley. A cat runs from the wind as we do, between the whitening trees, up Santa Lucia, where the heavy door unlocks, and our breath comes more easy. Then a crack of thunder, and the black rain runs over us, over the flat-roofed houses, coming down in gusts, beating the walls, the slatted windows, driving the last watcher indoors, moving the card players closer to their cards, their anisette. We creep to our bed and its straw mattress. We wait, we listen. The storm lulls off, then redoubles, bending the trees halfway down to the ground, shaking loose the last wizened oranges in the orchard, flattening the limber carnations. A spider eases himself down from a swaying light bulb, running over the coverlet, down under the iron bedstead. Water roars into the cistern. We lie closer on the gritty pillow, breathing heavily, hoping for the great last leap of the wave over the breakwater, the flat boom of the beach, of the towering sea swell, the sudden shudder as the jutting sea cliff collapses. And the hurricane drives the dead straw into the living pine tree. Oh, I hope you hear the jazz in that poem, even though it's not technically called a jazz poem. Let's have one more tune. This is Benny Carter, No, excuse me, this is Coleman Hawkins, Lullaby. And I will read you a poem called Storm Windows by Howard Nemiroff. People are putting up storm windows now, or were this morning until the heavy rain drove them indoors. So, coming home at noon, I saw storm windows lying on the ground, frame full of rain. Through the water and glass, I saw the crushed grass, how it seemed to stream away in lines like seaweed on the tide, or blades of wheat leaning under the wind. The ripple and splash of rain on the blurred glass seemed that it briefly said, as I walked by, something I should have liked to say to you. Something. The dry grass bent under the pane, brimful of bouncing water. Something of a swaying clarity which blindly echoes this lonely afternoon of memories and missed desires. While the wintry rain, unspeakable, the distance in the mind, runs on the standing windows and away. Okay, next up is Duke Ellington's Sophisticated Lady. I said we'd have just one more tune, but let's make this the last one. And then I will say my goodbyes and I will be away. Thank you for joining me today. In the dark with the radio spark, meet me where the most light falls. You are listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.